Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
You've been hurt and you've been torn apart, and I pull you close and hold you in my arms. If you give love, I'll return the love, then you will see so much more.
In Romans, it says the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Romans 11, 28 and 29. Everybody is born with a gift, and everybody has been born with a call on their life. Everybody. What happens is our misery comes from not understanding our gift and not answering that call. So we try to fill it with other things, substance abuse, sex, relationships, money. But you see, your calling and gifting is irrevocable. Can't change. That's in you when you're born. It was established before you even showed up in your mother's womb. He said, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. You are not a product of your parents. You are a product of God. And that's what you got to understand. What your parents did to you and how they treated you doesn't have any significance to what God is calling you to. You see that? It doesn't have any bearing on what God has called you to and created you for. They may have been good. They may have not. They may have been there. They may have not. But the idea is God has a call on your life, and that's what's important. And that is developed, and that is made known in the body of Christ. It can't happen outside the body of Christ. That's why it's so important that you be plugged in somewhere where the Word of God is going forth, and the Word of God is being spoken over you. And as the Word of God is being spoken over you, you're hearing God's voice and His Word, and He's calling you in the body. And you take your gift and you use it in the body, you use it wherever. You use it all over. And you serve people with that gift. That's it. You serve out of your gift. And your gift elevates other people. And that's why Jesus said, he who is great is the one who's servant of all. So in other words, you begin to serve out of your gift and you become great to other people because you elevated them to a place that they couldn't get on their own because you used your gift to help bring them up. And that's the way the body of Christ is. It's about building people up. Never tearing people down. And that's the body of Christ. We're to always be building people up, lifting them up, encouraging them, strengthening them. God is always going to build you up. He never tears you down. And people that are tearing you down, they're not from God. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, about knowing your enemy. It's important to know your enemy. Remember I told you I heard one of my mentors, Dr. Ronald Cottle, and he's at Beacon University. I heard him on my vacation, and he said, there was two things that he would give everything he had to know. Number one was his calling, and number two, to know his enemy. Because your enemy has the potential to take the head off your dream and to blind your vision. That's why you got to know your enemy, because if you're going to fulfill your dream and your calling of the calling of God on your life, you have to know your enemy, and you have to know your calling and your gifting. So we're going to talk today about our enemy. We've been talking about our calling. And so today, go with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, there's something we need to understand about our enemy. Your enemy is never people. It's important to know that and understand that. It's never people. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Spiritual. Then it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles is the word Greek word methodia. And it means organized strategies and technical procedures designed to handle a subject. So the enemy is strategizing and trying to figure out how to handle your life. He's constantly looking over you and trying to figure out how he can get a grip on your life so you can't fulfill the plan and purpose God has for you. That's why you got to know your enemy and you got to know how he works. So we're going to talk about that today. One thing about our enemy is he works through people. It's never people, but it's the enemy working through people. So you can either be a gate from hell or you can be a window from heaven. You can be a gate that releases hell to earth, or you can be a window that releases heaven to earth by the way you act and by what you say. Peter's a good example. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" to Peter. And Peter said, in Matthew 16, he says, "You are the Christ." And he said, "Son of Barjona," or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, "you have heard from heaven. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. You heard from heaven." In other words, Peter was a vessel, a window, releasing heaven to earth with that revelation that he was the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. He said, "The Spirit has revealed this to you." So now he was a window. And then Jesus went on to say, "I'm going to be crucified. This is going to happen to me. This is going to happen to me." And Peter says, "Not on my watch. It isn't going to happen. No way. That's not going to happen to you with me around." And what Jesus say? Jesus said, "You're not mindful of the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of men. Get behind me, Satan." He was now a gate from hell, bringing hell to earth, actually trying to get between Jesus and the will of God for Jesus' life. And we can do the same thing with people. You can come in here and worship God and get your hands in the air and praise God and just be so, you know, just the presence of God, and then walk out of here and get the carrying on in the car and yelling at your kids and yelling at your husband. Somebody almost, you know, runs a stoplight. You can say the wrong thing and just bring hell into the car. 1 minute you're God, and 1 minute it's like this. We make choices to either bring that hell or heaven to earth. So we got to understand our enemy. It's never people. The enemy works through people. God works through people. Whenever you're having a struggle, most of the time it's people. Am I talking to the right people? Yeah. Whenever you're having a struggle, most of the time it's people. The enemy's working through people. Now, Pharaoh was a type of Satan. And Pharaoh, God used to bring the people out of Egypt. Anytime there's a major enemy in your life, it's an announcement that something new is going to begin. There's going to be a new beginning. God sent Pharaoh. God uses your enemies. And God has assigned them in your life. What do you think about that? We have to understand. And when we understand, it doesn't have the power to take us out. That's what we got to understand. It's the ending of an old thing and the beginning of a new thing when you deal with an enemy. David, all of Israel was worried to death about Goliath and scared to death. David said, "Where's he at?" David ran to him because David got the revelation that I am no longer going to be a shepherd boy. I'm now stepping into my calling and my effectual call and my kingship. And he defeated that Goliath, that enemy, and then he was moved into being a king. That's the way it is. You go to another level when you deal with these enemies in your life. But it could not have happened without dealing with that enemy. Am I making sense? No one else wanted to stand against Goliath. Sometimes you are going to feel like you are alone and nobody else is around to help you, but you better know your God. You better know your God, because sometimes you're going to be alone in this. You're going to feel, people are going to be everywhere, but you're going to feel alone. And that's when God is trying to take you to another place. He doesn't want you dependent on your spouse and your children and your Aunt Meddy and your grandma. He wants you to depend on Him. And then when that takes place, now you're in a position to move forward and move up in the kingdom of God with more influence and be more effective in the calling that's on your life. Now, Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He says you're blessed when you're persecuted. Well, what about that? You're blessed when you're persecuted. The word persecute means pursue to execute. Something is pursuing you to execute you. Where is this coming from? You don't even know sometimes. But it's the enemy using people to take you out so you're not effective in the call that God has on your life. The persecution comes for what? Righteousness' sake. Because you're trying to do the right thing. You've made up your mind. I'm going to answer this call. I'm going to fulfill this plan and purpose. Now all hell is being unleashed against you. But you have to know that that's a good sign. I'm blessed when that happens. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
That word blessed, you know what it means? It's the Greek word eulogio. And that's where we get the word eulogy. And so it means to speak well of. It means to not revile or speak ill of. It means to speak well of. So when you do a eulogy in a funeral, you always bring out that person's good points, right? And make them look good. You see that? That's the way you're supposed to do with your enemies. That you speak well about them. Bring out the good in them. That empowers you. That brings the blessing of God down on you. Those people that are messing with you at work, start blessing them. Those people at school messing with you, start blessing them. Say good things about them. Now the power of God can come down in your life. You see that? You say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, all right. Well, you just go on and be miserable. You see that? For righteousness' sake. Now, look what he says. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, for his sake, for Jesus' sake. That's why they're coming at you, because you are following Jesus. And they see you changing. And they know they should be doing that. But they don't want to progress. Non-progressive people can't stand progress. You see, when you are progressing and you are doing something, you make those people uncomfortable. And a lot of times those folks are in your family. Jesus said some of your enemies are within your own family. Matthew 20, in your own family. My own family? Yeah, right there. That's why some of you don't get invited to the family reunion anymore. That's why they don't want you at the Thanksgiving dinner anymore. You make them uncomfortable. Yeah, your relatives are going to treat you different when you start to do what's right. They don't want to invite you because they think you think you're something else. You go into that church over there and they think they're something. You got all saved and you think you're better than everybody now. Or blah, 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 blah. You think you're so suchy much. But you see what? That's what people do. They think you're arrogant when you're trying to do what's right. You see that? Then he says, rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Where? For so they persecuted the prophets who were... He says, rejoice. Rejoice when these declarations are coming at you and being made about you. Rejoice. When people are talking, whispering in the corner and saying negative things about you, he says, get happy about it. Because that's a sign that God's plan is starting to unfold in your life. Rejoice, he says. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. You see, Paul said that in a prison with guards breathing down his neck, and he was being persecuted for nothing more than preaching the gospel. But he said, rejoice. You see, when you rejoice, that brings heaven to earth on your life. You become a window of heaven now. And now those things aren't having power over you. And you see, here's what happens. I see people walking in, all defeated. And, you know, they're talking about me. Well, you know, I don't know why they treat me this way. Pray for me, Pastor. Will you pray for me? See, that's wrong. That's the opposite. We should walk in here, man, like we're going somewhere. Like we own the place. And you should walk in Kroger's and Walmart and the mall and the shoe store and the rest of the places like you own the place. You see what I'm saying? Get your head up and start rejoicing. Because when you rejoice, heaven's now coming to earth on your life. You're a window of heaven now to bring to others. When we understand that, enemy can't take you out. He's not going to be able to ruin your influence. He's trying to ruin your influence all the time. Get you focused on yourself. All right. Number one, your enemy, here's your enemy, you ready? Your enemy is anyone that increases a weakness in your life that God seeks to remove. Your enemy feeds and strengthens and increases a weakness that God is trying to remove out of your life. That's the one the enemy's working through. Everyone has a dominant weakness. We all have gifts, but every one of us have a weakness. Every one of us have a weakness. Your flesh doesn't want to do what's right. Your weakness has a desire. Your weakness pursues people that will allow it and encourage that weakness. That's why when someone comes to Christ, it's difficult. It's difficult for them to stop and change their associations, the people they used to hang around with. Because weaknesses are fed through associations. And the enemy will always be right there ready to feed your weakness. You're a person that likes to gossip. Times get tough. You know right who to call. You know right who to call. I mean, you get on the phone, you know who to call. You have a substance abuse problem. You have an addiction problem. Things get tough. You know who to call. You know right who to call. They're there waiting ready to feed your weakness. Your weakness will tell you to stay home instead of going to that church today. Your weakness will tell you to roll over and go back to sleep. You don't need to go hear that preacher today. Because anybody that really loves you and is really trying to help you, your weakness wants to run from it. Your weakness will try to get you to run from anybody who's trying to help you and trying to do the best thing for you. Your weakness will cause you to run. If your weakness is promiscuity, sex, and you're in a marriage, and things might be a little shaky there, and you men, you go to work, and there's some woman there, and she says, "Well, looky here today. If I was married to you, you know that's right. Talking to you and feeding that weakness. Same way with a woman. That marriage is shaking, going through a tough time, right there at work. Girl, whoa, what you got on today? Am I making sense? That's the way it is. That's your enemy. That has the ability to take the head off of your dreams, to blind your vision, to keep you from everything that God has for you. It comes through your associations. 1 John, go with me there real quick. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, if you say you have no sin, no weaknesses, you're deceiving yourself. We all have them. He says also in there that if you lie and you do not practice the truth, He says you're a liar. The Bible says the devil's a liar. God says you're a liar if you say you have no weaknesses. But if we confess them to God, He helps us in them. And folks, here's the idea. You don't have to confess your weaknesses to anyone publicly, but God wants you to confess them to Him privately. And He will assist you and empower you to rise above them and heal you in that. And heal you. He will bring healing into your life. The problem is, people can always smell somebody else's bad, stinky feet. Or they can smell somebody's breath. They can smell everybody else's odor, but they can't smell their own. When really they walked in and the whole room starts to stink. The idea is we got to deal with our own stuff. And when we start dealing with our own stuff, we're empowered and now we're getting victory over our weakness. Now, think about this. David had a weakness with women. He had an affair with Bathsheba, one woman. Solomon was David's son. Solomon ended up having over 300 women. The weakness you do not deal with, it will show up in your children and be multiplied a lot worse if you don't deal with it. Solomon ended up dying almost insane. Peter had a great weakness. You know what his weakness was? Other people's opinion. He became whatever he was around. I can't stand to be around those kind of people. They just want to please everybody. He valued other people's opinion. That was his weakness. Those kind of people make me nervous. He wanted the respect of his peers at all time. At the Last Supper, Peter says, "I'm with you, Jesus. I'll die with you. I'm with you. You and me, we're in this. We're bros. You know, you're my main skillet, right? You're on my front burner. You and I, we got it." And the next minute, they're saying, when Jesus was on trial, they're saying, "You know this Jesus? Oh, I don't even know him. I don't even know who you're talking about." See, he wanted to please the pressure and the opinion of his peers. Whatever group he was in, that's what he succumbed to. That's where you're going to find your enemy, working through those kind of people. Now, Samson's weakness was not Delilah. Everybody has Delilah out as some big, you know, sex goddess. But it doesn't talk anything about her appearance, her, you know, what she looked, none of that. You know why how Delilah got to Samson? She complimented him. It was the Philistines that hated Samson and wanted to take Samson out. The Philistines used Delilah because Delilah was hooked up, was hanging with Samson. So they got a hold of Delilah, and they used Delilah to destroy Samson, to try to destroy Samson. That's where your enemy's at. Your enemy is right there with you, connected to you. And the enemy hates you, and he will use people right in your circle to take you out. Samson's weakness was a compliment. She stroked him and his ego and put his head in her lap and just told him how great he was and stroked his ego. And she could get him to do anything she wanted. Why? Men love compliments. Men love a compliment more than anything. Men love to be praised. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God shows up. God's attracted. God's vulnerable to praise. When you praise God, you get his presence. Men are the same way because they are created in his likeness. And when you begin to praise a man and compliment him, women, you ought to work that. Are you listening to me? You ought to work that. Begin to praise your man. Compliment him. See, the problem is too many times they start looking at the negative and speaking that. And that's moving him away. In a marriage, we should be complimenting each other all the time. I tell you, in a marriage, if your wife likes purple shoes with yellow flowers and pink and black polka dots, and she likes to go to the mall and look at them all day long and go in every store and look at every one of them, you need to follow her and enjoy every minute of it. Because it says that we're to look out not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's love, see? And women, if your man likes football, get you some popcorn and a Pepsi and strap up on that couch and say, let's go, whatever. Rah, rah, rah. Are you with me? And act, if you hate it, act like you're enjoying it. You see, now you're putting his interest before yours. If you two are working like that, that kind of environment, it can't fail. It cannot fail. It produces health and wholeness and life and power. It can't fail. It only fails when one becomes selfish. When one of them becomes selfish, it can blow the whole thing. Enemies, listen. Enemies reveal the Judases in your life. Now listen, Judas is not your enemy. Judas was not Jesus' enemy. Listen, here's the nature of a Judas. They are your friend in your presence, and they are the friend of your enemies in their presence. That's what makes them dangerous. Judas, by nature, will not confront you because they are intimidated by you. But now listen, a Judas feels they need to hear from your enemy. So they will talk to your enemy about you. They will talk to you. They will get emails. They will talk and they will communicate about you and around you. Because they feel they need to know. And they want to talk to you about you. And they need to know too about you. But also your enemies. They like to play both fields in friendship. That's a dangerous person. And everybody has one. And they're right there looking you in the eye. Most of the time on a daily basis. Right there looking you in the eye. They're right there in your circle. See, it was the religious folks. In Luke 22, it talks about that. Where Judas, the chief priests, and the scribes, that was the Pharisees. It was the Pharisees that sought to kill Jesus. They didn't do anything. They got Judas. Because Judas was in his circle. And that's the way it is. It's the one who's closest in your circle. Right there, the ones you're working with daily, you're around daily. That's where your Judas, that's where you're going to find your Judas. They're talking to your enemies because they want to know. They feel they need to know, and they're talking to you. And betrayal is on the rise. But when that happens and you treat it right, promotion is on the rise as well. Because after Judas was discovered, Jesus was resurrected. He brings life to those things that were dead. What was dying, what was not producing anything, when that enemy shows up and really reveals his ugly head, life is going to begin in a new area in your life. So if you're dealing with something, know that life is coming if you stay focused. Delilah was not Samson's enemy. It was the Philistines. Judas was not Jesus' enemy. It was the religious folks. Judas will play both fields in friendship. And when you know that, you can love them. Jesus still loved Judas, right? He loved him. Their goal is to weaken your influence through words. Through words. They will try to affect your character. They will attack your character. They will attack you in ways because they're listening to the enemy and they're bringing up everything they're saying that's maybe not even true. Some of it may be true, but they don't need to be talked about to everybody. Are you with me? And it's working to keep you from being effective in God's call and advancing His kingdom. And guess who put them there? God did. Because you know what? You are on borrowed time. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And there is a gift in you, and that's not yours. That's God's. God is seeing how you are going to steward your life on this earth and that gift that He's placed in you. He's going to see if you're going to love your enemies, like He said, and bless those who persecute you. If you begin to practice this, you're going to see power in your life. You will not fulfill the plan and purpose if you don't understand what I'm talking about today. Folks, I didn't come to Sydney to play games. I am on an assignment here. Are you with me? I am on an assignment and a call from God, and I am answering that assignment. I'm not here to play games and be wishy-washy. If God is calling you to something, do it. Are you with me? Begin to do it. Don't play games. Get at it and go for it. Because folks, listen, you will be effective and your influence will continue to reach out and touch other people's lives. You can't be focused on other people's opinions and what this one is saying and that one is saying and what this one is trying to get you to do and this one is saying. Folks, you got to understand what God is saying. Are you with me? Because He works all things together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You see, if you are on His purpose, you are on His assignment, and no enemy can take you out when you are in His purpose. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And it's really all about the love of God is what He's testing. That's why He says, David said, because you have set your love upon Me, says the Lord, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known My name. When you call upon Me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you My salvation. He wants to show you your salvation. Your salvation is you walking in the plan and purpose of God and what He's called and created you for. He'll show it to you. He'll make it plain. You'll wake up in the morning and you can see it. And everybody else may not see it, but you see it. And nobody can change your mind. Oh, come on. Am I making sense today? I know I get excited. God has this on everybody. And He is calling every one of us. Every one of us. He's calling you. But there's an enemy. And you got to know your enemy. You got to know that enemy. And you got to know who you're talking to. And you got to love them. And you got to bless them. And you got to pray for them. In 1 Corinthians 2:7 says this, even the rulers of this age, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, when they crucified Jesus, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All the demons and all Satan's cohorts were laughing and thinking they've got Him now. But when He died, went to heaven and came back, Satan was defeated. One man defeating Satan, enemy. Now his influence went to the whole world. We're going to have to defeat him. And our influence is going to be able to affect many. And it's through love. It's through love. Do you love Him?
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.